Hello and welcome to the YYC Soccer Podcast. My name is Jason Komet and my co-host is Scott Strasser. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
Pretty good. It's a Thursday night, a snowy Thursday night in April here. And we've had some really nice weather and it's made the soccer season seem really close. But right now, honestly, it feels like it's a million years away with the snow coming down. But yeah, you know, it's Calgary. It'll change over very quickly, I'm sure.
Calgary in April, you don't really know what you're going to get. You kind of have to go with the flow, it seems.
We are getting closer to the start of some outdoor soccer in spring season. Scott, if you are a new listener, what is the YYC Soccer Podcast all about?
YYC Soccer Podcast covers soccer in Calgary at the amateur, collegiate, and professional levels. We talk about the teams and the players from the city's soccer community, from the grassroots and amateur leagues up to the university and professional level.
We're going to cover a few topics. We're going to talk about the upcoming Canadian National Futsal Championships, which are being held here in Calgary next week. We'll talk about some League One updates and also a couple notes in advance of Cavalry's season.
Yeah, Cavalry is really close to kicking off the 2024 Canadian Premier League season. Of course, they're the league's defending regular season champion, so they'll be itching to get going and defend their title in that regard. They do have a preseason game coming up on Saturday, but before we kind of delve into that topic, let's kind of remind listeners about the Futsal National Championships, which are coming to Tsutina Nation, the Seven Chiefs Sportsplex, quite soon.
Yeah, the matches are going to start next week on Thursday, April 11th, and they're going to run throughout the day. I don't think match times have been announced yet, but there will be several games throughout the day, I think into the afternoon and into the evening. And the round robin matches will be on the Thursday, Friday, and the Saturday. And then on Sunday will be the playoffs and the championship matches.
Yeah, and this is the eighth National Futsal Championships. And you did some digging into the teams and found out some interesting tidbits about who they are and how often they've played in this tournament in many cases.
Yeah, I did a little research on the Canada Soccer website. And yeah, if you were at any of the matches last year, there are going to be some familiar teams back again this year on the men's side. When I did a little bit of digging here, I found a couple things that were interesting. At least I thought they were interesting. The Quebec representative is Sporting Montreal, and they were the silver medalist last year. And this is actually their sixth consecutive appearance. So out of eight futsal championships, they've been there the last six times. And in those six times, they've actually got a medal every time they've been here. Three golds, one silver last year, and a bronze. So they've been a very strong team over the years. There are a couple other teams that have consistently shown up in this tournament as well. The Manitoba representative is a club out of Winnipeg called Pioneers FC. They've been at the tournament for the last 4 years. The team from Saskatchewan is called Olympia FC, and they've represented Saskatchewan all 5 years that Saskatchewan has sent a representative to this tournament.
Yeah, so there's a lot of familiar faces on the men's side, but on the women's side, it's actually the opposite, and there's going to be quite a bit of turnover compared to last year.
Yeah, it's quite different. This year, the Ontario representative is from Windsor. The club from Quebec is called Atletico Montreal, and so that means the gold and silver medalists from last year from Ontario and Quebec, neither of them are returning.
And Alberta different this year on both.
Yeah. On both sides, the men's and women's side, it's new teams for Alberta, and they're both Edmonton Scottish. So last year, it was Calgary teams because Calgary was the only place in Alberta that had an organized competitive futsal league. So the city champions of Calgary were the provincial representatives. But this year, there was an Edmonton league, so there was a provincial championship, and on both the men's and women's side, Edmonton Scottish, which is a well-known, long-established club in Edmonton, they won both on the men's and women's side. So they're representing Alberta.
Yeah, it's too bad we don't have that local connection that we did at last year's tournament. But nonetheless, I think it'll be an entertaining couple days of matches. Last year, it was really fun to go out a few times and and watch the games. That's very close to where I live. So I imagine this year I should be able to make it out at least once. But no, that was one of the first things we covered when we launched our podcast last year. So harkens back to our early days as a pod, but kind of excited to see how it shapes up. I know it should be a good couple of days of competitive futsal, which is obviously a bit different from the outdoor version of the sport. But if you like seeing goals, if you like seeing some techers and some nutmegs and that kind of thing, this is the one for you.
Definitely.
And a very cool venue as well. I think we talked more about it last year, but Seven Chief Sportsplex, very modern, very new. The gym's, I think it's called the Gym Starlight Center, which is like Chief Gym Starlight Center, which is like their gymnasium there. It's massive. Hey, like they have, if they put the bleachers down, I mean, they have capacity for lots of fans, which I don't think they'll do, but it's just, it's an impressive facility. So if you haven't been there yet and you're into, if you find recreation centers cool or like the architecture of it or anything like that, like it's worth it just to check out the facility.
If you've been into the UC or the Mount Royal facilities, it's bigger than that. Like if you compare, say, like the Jack Simpson gym at UC, which is, you know, a wonderful, great facility, this one it's bigger. Yeah. And if you pulled out all the seats, I don't even know what it could hold, but way more than the Jack Simpson, like where they play basketball for UFC, for example. It has huge capacity.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, just to finish off this topic, that tournament, the National Futsal Championships, coming to Calgary area April 11th to 14th.
We'll try and provide some updates on our social media when we find out a bit more information about what's happening. But yeah, looking forward to it. Let's move on and talk about League One Alberta. So there were a few more signings this week, not exactly a flood of signings, but a few more to talk about. Scott, you want to take it away and talk about a few of them that we heard about?
Sure. Blizzard has been really active on Twitter in terms of announcing their signings thus far. This week, they announced Alyssa Danione, player from University of Saskatchewan, second team All-Star in the Canada West Conference. She's a returning player. And then on the men's side, Blizzard announced a couple of players from Mount Royal University's Canada West winning team, those including Miguel De Rocha and Josh Flaxman, who was an every game starter for the Cougars, scored 5 goals and got 3 assists in the 2020 preseason.
I noticed for the Blizzard women, I don't know how many players they've announced yet, maybe 5, I'm guessing, but all of the players played for the League One Alberta team last year as well. So they're definitely bringing back a lot of familiar faces from last year's championship winning squad.
We still haven't seen anyone from Foothills yet, but expecting those to come in the week come, I imagine.
I think we'll be seeing some stuff there pretty soon. And I know Southwest United is also fielding teams this year. We haven't seen much there yet either, but I think, you know, it's just a matter of time here before this trickle turns into a flood of signings. So,
have you heard about when League One Alberta will kick off? Is it going to start up in May, presumably?
I haven't heard anything official, but I would presume so because so many of the players are playing university.
Yeah.
When you start looking at exams and everything like that, I don't think this is set up in such a way that they give a window of opportunity for players to, you know, write their exams and then really, I think training probably really gets going in earnest right after that. So I'd have to think back to last year, but I'm pretty sure it was sometimes in sort of the early part of May that things really started to happen, but not before then.
Yeah, it's tricky because you can't really start the season until the players are done university exams, like you said, but it also has to finish early because those players will head back to their university teams, presumably in late July or early August for the preseason training camps. So it's a lot of footy crammed into the spring and summer months, but obviously a great system to have in Alberta now, and a great way for those players to maintain their competitive training and playing for a lengthier period of the year. So we'll keep on League One Alberta. We'll keep mentioning which players have signed with which clubs. But no, excited to see the official League One Alberta inaugural season kick off, since last year was just an exhibition series.
Yeah, totally. And we don't know yet even exactly how many games each team will be playing that will constitute a season, but that'll come out pretty soon. And you're right, it is a short season. It's kind of unfortunate that way. Kind of wish it was a bit longer. I know in Ontario, I think they've now started something with League One Ontario where they have kind of a fall season, which is not the same as the regular summer season, which is the equivalent to what we have in League One Alberta. But they figured out a way to somehow extend the season with a competition that's a little bit separate. So I don't know, maybe we'll see something like that down the line. But right now, I'm pretty happy with what we've got. I'm looking forward to the summer of watching some of the soccer.
So let's transition now to talking about Cavalry FC. They're back from their preseason trip to Mexico. Their first regular season game is fast approaching. It's coming up on April 13th against Forge. But before that, they have a preseason game happening this Saturday, which due to the recent snowy weather has been moved to a different location.
Yeah, they're going to hold it at the Calgary West Soccer Center. That will definitely affect the access. The event was originally going to be at Shoal Dice, where you could have as many people as you want, probably, because you know that place holds thousands. But yeah, when it comes to a dome where there isn't tons of room, isn't on the pitch, I think it's going to be very limited. I went actually onto the website to see if you could buy tickets now that, because they were doing tickets for a $5 donation, I believe. Yeah. I went to go see, could you actually get a ticket this afternoon? And it said, no, sold out. So I think anyone that got a ticket, I think they're going to be honoring them. But if you're trying to do a walk-up for this game, I think that's not in the offing.
I don't think we've actually mentioned the opponent, but it is going to be Foothills FC, I believe, is who they're playing.
Yeah, I believe so. And I think Cavalry's going to play Foothills, and then Cavalry U21s are going to play, I believe, the 1UP club.
Yeah,
I think that's
Yeah, so it's kind of a double header, which is neat. But this is their last preseason game. So after this, they'll be quickly preparing for their regular season to get going on the road once again, as it usually is, out in Hamilton when they take on defending playoff champions Forge.
Yeah, and we're going to see the finalization of the roster here very quickly. There was one signing announced this week, Malcolm Shaw, who played for Atletico Ottawa for the past, is it 4 years, I believe, for quite a while anyway. I think he was one of the original members of that club. He signed this week for the Caps.
Yeah, he's been with Atletico Ottawa since 2020, so that would have been the Island Games on Prince Edward Island. Counting that kind of abridged season, followed by three full seasons in the CPL. He's kind of a CPL veteran. He's 1995 born, so he's 28 or 29 years old. He really adds to Cavalry's attacking depth. If you think about their forward line now, they've got, you know, newcomers Tobias Warszewski, Leighton Brooks, Lucas Diaz, and Diego Gutierrez, coupled with Meyer Bevan. So, you know, you add Malcolm Shaw to the mix, you just have a ton of options up front, which seems like a very purposeful decision by Tommy Wheeldon Jr. this year. Malcolm has, you know, he's not lit up the CPL. I mean, he's never really been like the main goal scorer for Atletico, but I think he'll be a solid addition. He clearly knows the league very well. Another good piece of business by Cavalry, but I was honestly a bit surprised. I wasn't expecting an Ottawa player to join forces with Cavalry this season.
I'm a bit surprised at this one too, but I'm not sure. Maybe I read this in Northern Tribune, but I know I saw it somewhere in the online world that someone had suggested that this Malcolm Shaw signing has Ali Moussi vibes all over it. And kind of a player who has lots of offensive skill and, you know, has had an okay career, but has never like really like broken out in, you know, a spectacular way. But we've really seen that happen with Ali Moussi here. And I think Shaw's a little bit older than him, I think, but maybe the coaching staff see something in him that they think they can unlock and really maximize his potential, potentially.
Ali Moussi was one I was surprised he wasn't a Cavalry for me off, just because he was with the Foothills PDL team that Tommy Wheeldon Jr. coached in 2017 and 2018. But you're right? Like he went to Valor and did quite well there, but it wasn't really until he came to Cavalry that he became one of the league's, you know, best attacking players. Curious to see how Malcolm Shaw does. Ottawa looks like they're just crushing it in the transfer department this window. I mean, every week it seems like they just add yet another great CPL caliber player. So I'm very interested to see how well those players are going to gel, and if they do gel, just how tough Ottawa is going to be will be this year.
Yeah, on paper, they're frightening. I don't know what else to really say, but there's nothing like playing the games to see it all through. But yeah, on paper, wow, they are impressive. One more thing I want to mention about Malcolm Shaw, and I don't know how much this is going to potentially affect the upcoming season, but he's been capped by Trinidad and Tobago, I believe, right, 5 times now. And he's a relatively recent addition to the Trinidad and Tobago national team. I think his first cap was in 2023. So I don't know if that is going to affect his availability later this summer, but because I can't even really remember what Trinidad and Tobago are involved in. I know that Canada beat them out for that Copa America spot, but I don't think we've really had too much with Cavalry players missing much time due to the international call-ups. You know, I know Willie Accio has played for South Sudan, but that could be another factor in here, although I don't think it's anything that I'm going to be laying in bed worrying about over, but yeah, just another thing to think about.
Yeah, I think it's good that they have a player who's playing at the international level, regardless of which country it's for. And yeah, I think international windows haven't really impacted the CPL that much. So I do imagine he'll get called up to the Soka Warriors again. But like I said, Cavalry's attacking core has a lot of depth this season. So I'm sure there'll be someone else to fill in when that happens.
Sticking with the Cavs, I know that, Scott, you and I love talking about the U21 minutes. And it was pointed out to me on Twitter this week that we've been saying that the Cavs currently only have 2 Canadian U21 players, but actually they do have 3, because Lucas Diaz, who is being loaned to the club this year, he will qualify as a Canadian U21 player. So they do currently have 3 on the roster, which meets the minimum requirements.
Because he is Canadian born, even though he's been playing in Portugal, right?
Exactly, because I think he's from Toronto originally. But yeah, for whatever reasons, because he's being loaned out, I think he just slipped our minds. But anyway, just thought I would add that in, because that's something I know we talked about for a bit last week, and might as well update the status now that we've learned more information. So I think we'll wrap it up for this week. Thank you for listening to the YYC Soccer Podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast using all the usual podcasting platforms. Head over to our website at yycsoccer.com, where there's more information about how to subscribe to the podcast or how to leave a question or comment. You can follow us on Twitter or X or whatever it's called, all the social media, Instagram, at yycsoccer403. Thanks for listening.